Matthew Eaton and co-owner Anthony Kiras showcase cutting-edge artists from around the world in their Library Street Collective Gallery in downtown Detroit. The duo are also passionate advocates for public art, starting in the alleyway right behind their gallery. What was once a gritty, dingy alley where the highlight was dumpsters and trash has been transformed into an inviting outdoor walkway of mural art. And on the far side of the alley, dubbed the Belt, in homage to its past as the one-time heart of the garment district, is a multi-story parking garage that's now graced with mammoth murals by internationally known artists on each floor level, with more installations in the planning stages. Come along and join Matthew Eaton as he shares his passion and insights into the worldwide phenomenon of urban street art, also known as graffiti art. Eaton traces the unbroken lineage of street painters to their forebears, the prehistoric cave painters. The Library Street Collective, right in the heart of downtown of Detroit.
Yeah, we are literally in the heart of Detroit when we're sitting right now in what used to be part of the garment district down here in an alleyway called the Belt, right behind the gallery Library Street Collective, of which I am the co-owner.
The collective is basically a gallery, right?
Yeah, we're a traditional art gallery. We represent upcoming kind of modern contemporary artists, a lot who have evolved out of the graffiti and street art scene globally. We also spend a lot of time and energy investing in things like pop-up exhibitions around the world and mural projects and public art projects. For example, right now we're in the Belt, is an alleyway populated with a bunch of murals by artists from all over the world. So it's become a kind of tourist destination in a lot of ways on the kind of arts and culture path, and we're really proud of it.
And a step further, you have the classic refined graffiti art, too. Tell us about that, and then the parking structure. That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of people tend to forget or acknowledge that how important graffiti is in kind of modern art and culture, being the first kind of genre and style of art to kind of populate the globe instantaneously with the advent of the internet and tools like that. So people in Shanghai have been able to be inspired by people in the Bronx virtually overnight, and vice versa. So naturally that's fascinating to us and me particularly because I grew up in this. So I love the traditional kind of letter form and action and calligraphy because it reminds me of our earliest kind of mark makings and cave drawings and communication and language.
And they're the same guys that were
absolutely
drawing the bison on the wall or putting their hands on the wall are still around.
And it combines, it's funny for me, my personal view, it combines two of the most important art forms at the top of the pyramid, and that's language, the written and spoken word, and architecture. Both of those things have enabled us to communicate with each other and learn from each other and also live with each other and protect ourselves from the elements. Everything else, I feel, comes after that. So this combines a lot of those in a weird primal way because most of the people that practice this, people like to say, oh, they didn't go to art school, blah, blah. You never know who is actually a practicing graffiti writer or street artist.
As an artist myself, I always like to say, I can't not do what I do.
Absolutely.
I have to do it. I know you understand
what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that's true of these graffiti artists.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the taggers, but the graffiti artists are our cave dwelling trolls.
Yeah.
And they have to have a place. They have to have a canvas. And they've had to make their own historically. But now you and people like you are providing a venue for them.
Sure.
For the true graffiti artists. Tell us about that.
It's tough because while illegal and a lot of it aggressive in some ways, the true graffiti writer, I think what compels them to do that is the kind of nice, fantastical way to think about it is their spiritual connection to the legacy of that mark making and sign painting and communication. The other part of that is the ego. Graffiti writers do it for themselves and a very small group of people. They look for acknowledgement in a very narrow group. Whereas, like a street artist, who doesn't just paint their name is looking for acknowledgement and accolades from a far greater audience. So graffiti and graffiti writers, that's a very personal experience in a lot of ways. And it's a smaller, tighter brotherhood.
And within that urban core, there is that challenge that from a sociological standpoint of finding that remote, hard-to-get-to canvas.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there are places I've seen where I don't know how they got there, how they hung upside down.
That's part of that journey and adventure is part of the kind of meditative quality of moving through that, especially when you're young, because most of the people that come out of graffiti and evolve into the fine art world, those instances and experiences were absolutely fundamental in creating the fine artists they are today. Those are things you can't learn in school. There's no way to teach you. The kind of thrill of it all and the sense of adventure and the willpower to accomplish something and conquer something. Like, those are attributes that very successful artists have. So if you can have those things and also find out how to create a harmonious career as an artist and assume that burden of dedicating your life to arts and culture.
The cultural people in Detroit have made great entrees to provide a palette, a canvas for these people. Around town, I'm amazed at the art that we see on the walls. Tell us about what you've done and where people were showcased.
It's been interesting, especially in a city like Detroit, where it hasn't been as open and welcoming as I would have hoped for, especially things like public art that aren't, you know, an Anish Kapoor sculpture that are, you know, tens of millions of dollars. We're talking about grassroots, even locally grown artists trying to create works that matter to them and matter to the people in their neighborhood, and murals and things like that. Property owners have been ticketed here for having murals on their building because it's seen as blight, because there's no one in the city infrastructure directing the opinions and telling people what the difference is.
What you're saying is that Detroit collectively still has a long way to go to providing that open welcome.
Absolutely. The first step is helping to define what is this and what is that, obviously. And if a building owner is willing to pay an artist or even just let them paint their building and they're happy with the art, that's their business. It's different than someone sneaking on their property at night and actually vandalizing and devaluing their property. It's the building owner's choice. I understand there are many variables and so many facets to this conversation argument, but the underlying kind of thing that stands out to me, though, is that lack of personnel within city government to help build a strong, healthy arts and culture infrastructure here who can make decisions and guide people to decisions that are harmonious and actually productive.
On the positive side of things within the city, talk about public art and for the arts, good things that are happening.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the best example is, you know, why do we travel? Why are there tourists? To go and look at the fruits of the labor of artists in other cities. It's just that. Or it's nature. Either one of those is a perfectly legitimate reason to travel. But, you know, if I go to the Sistine Chapel to look at Michelangelo's work, I'm going there because an artist drew me there. So I would hope that that's what draws people to, you know, Detroit in a lot of ways. And it's such an important part of just global culture and health. Like, it's how we relax. It's how we decompress.
It's how we always have. Go anthropological, go archaeological for a moment. You go back in time, and what remnants do we have of long-lost civilizations?
Yeah. We're now creating those same artifacts that we are thrilled to discover when they're revealed to us, you know, by the wind or water or the hands of an archaeologist. You know, these, you know, artifacts that reveal our history and tell us about who we are. We need to keep doing that, and that's what public art is. That's what.
Isn't that fascinating that one of the only vestigial remnants of these long-lost civilizations is their art today?
It's art, and it always has been, and it always will be, because you don't find a corner of a piece of concrete and it's not fascinating. You don't wonder what it is. You don't wonder about the person that made that, what compelled them to make this. You find an old piece of pottery, and you look at the ink. Is it blood? Is it plant based? Like what is it? How did they create? What kind of clay is this? It becomes fascinating instantly. It tells us about these cultures and these people and how they think.
And the geometry and the symmetry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are the stars telling them? What's the sun telling them? What's the earth telling them? You know?
Matthew, unfortunately, we're almost out of time. I could spend 2 hours with you.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah. So before we go, let's loop back to your gallery and tell us what somebody would experience here and the rotation of... Different show.
Obviously, we specialize in young contemporary fine art, so hopefully you'd experience some powerful imagery paired with beautiful colors and interesting narratives and stories.
And how often are you able to get local Detroit artists to be showcased?
Well, local Detroit artists?
Yeah.
We do a lot of work with local Detroit artists in different kind of respects, but this gallery isn't about catering to a region of artists. It's artists that we love from around the world.
They could be anywhere. So they could be from London.
They come from Russia. They come from Detroit. They come from China. They come from Detroit.
So it's more genre specific.
Yeah, it's more kind of genre specific in a lot of ways.
Not geographic.
definitely not geographic.
All right. And to learn more about your gallery, which has a unique name, which is the Library Street Collective, and I assume that's because the library was...
Because we're on Library Street, yes. And you can visit us at lscgallery.com, as in Library Street Collective Gallery.com. Yeah, check us out on Instagram, Library Street Collective. It's pretty simple. If you're tech savvy, you know what to do.
Awesome. Matthew Eaton, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Mine too. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Detroit, Michigan.
Grand River Creative Corridor was the brainchild of local real estate investor Derek Weaver. He saw opportunity one of Detroit's most blighted neighborhoods. This is the neighborhood that's ground zero even today for national media whenever they want to show footage of blight at abandoned houses surrounded by empty fields where a thriving neighborhood once stood. Weaver purchased an abandoned four-story commercial building and has transformed it into a combination art gallery and performance center for music, poetry, readings, and more, and dubbed it all the 4731 Gallery. Upstairs, there are 31 studio spaces for artists and non-artists alike, all seeking affordable startup workspaces. But Weaver also sought out graffiti artists to adorn his exterior walls with stunning murals and graffiti art. And this is how Weaver came to loggerheads and an $8,000 fine from the city of Detroit for creating urban blight. Intervention by the mayor ultimately sorted things out, and over the years, Weaver has convinced neighboring building owners to also invite illegal street artists to paint legally on their buildings. And today, the Grand River Creative Corridor touts more than 100 murals. As a parochial school marching band practiced on the tarmac across the street, I met up with Derek Weaver out front at his 4731 gallery.
I'm Derek Weaver. We're in the Grand River Creative Corridor at the 4731 building.
So you're a true pioneer, Dan, and you're on the fringes, on the frontier, aren't you?
I guess maybe you can say that. I've been in this particular neighborhood for about 6 years now. I first came in when very few people were interested in the neighborhood and real estate was cheap.
I would assume it's still relatively inexpensive.
It's not as cheap as it used to be. Over the past probably 2 or 3 years, real estate values up and down this stretch of Grand River actually have, in a lot of cases, tripled or even quadrupled.
That's really interesting because if we look right across the street, 10 feet away, it's a bombed out, vacated, bulldozed neighborhood. What is there, one house left on the entire block?
Yeah, I agree.
Look, one more block. What's this, is that house occupied or is it?
No, it's vacant. Or? But what's so interesting about this neighborhood? There's basically five major avenues that lead into downtown Detroit, and Grand River is one of those five main avenues that lead into the city. But it's the only avenue that's seen the smallest amount of investment.
Correct me if I'm wrong, this is the area where national news loves to come and show the images.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you see in national news, where there's a little old lady in her house that is snowed in and not getting city services. I mean, we are in that neighborhood. I think it really presents an opportunity to investors and creative people that come in and basically take it as a blank canvas, and you can do anything. You can reinvent the neighborhood into whatever you want.
You really could, and obviously some people are doing that, because here you are, and you purchased a large commercial building right across the street.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity is there, and like I said, when I first came into this neighborhood, no one was interested in it whatsoever, and basically I started buying real estate for pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. So,
talk to us about graffiti, because there are so many different layers. Number one, some of the graffiti that you have on the side of your building is classic, true art. It's graffiti art. It is not just some random tagger stuff. It could be in a gallery.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, taking it one step further, as we travel, drive all around and through the different neighborhoods in Detroit, you see graffiti on all different levels across town.
Yeah.
And it's revered among a lot of the artistic people and creative people in town as a true art form. And they are, like you are encouraging it. You are giving walls to artists to paint. And yet here you hear stories of the city trying to punish you and fine you and to, like, they don't want any graffiti art in the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
A couple years ago, the city of Detroit actually gave me about $8,000 worth of blight tickets for having murals on my buildings. And immediately the local media became interested in it and made a big deal of it. And the mayor immediately came out and, you know, recognized the mistake and said, okay, well, you know, there's a lot of backing of this by the community. The community is really interested in this art form. Maybe we need to take a second look at it. And what you were mentioning earlier, a lot of the murals up and down this stretch are, you know, something that you could see in a fine art gallery. Some of these artists do have work in museums and gallery shows and different things like that. But what's really interesting is you can just be simply walking or driving up and down the street, and this art is right in your face, and it's available for anybody and everybody to enjoy. You don't have to paint an admission fee to go to a museum or wear fancy clothes to go to a high-end art gallery to see it. It's right here available, whether you're got $2 in your pocket or $200,000 in your pocket.
Well, I think part of it is just, this is our new reality. This is where our society has evolved in urban America. I mean, you can go to any city and you will see urban street art, and no civic or governmental agency can make it go away. They can make it go higher up on the second and third floor, but they won't make it go away. So my question for you is the city of Detroit getting it? Are they evolving? Are they getting the message? Or are they still not supporting public street art?
I think for the most part, the city of Detroit is backing street art and murals. They've kind of finally gotten on the bandwagon with that, and they see that the community appreciates it, and it can actually be an asset to the community. But I still think that the city has a long way to go to realize what type of impact this art can do for a community if it's well organized, well thought out, and done right.
Well, we're almost out of time. I got to go. The bus is leaving.
Okay.
Before we go, tell us about the commercial venue that you have as a showcase for artists and poets and musicians.
Yeah, so the 4731 building, or the 4731 Arts Incubator, where we're at right now, we have 31 studios for artists and entrepreneurs, and we also have an art gallery on the first floor that we have live music and poetry and different art shows. Some of the tenants that we have in the building are traditional painters, photographers, tattoo artists. We have a couple of hair salons. We have a jewelry making business, a couple of recording studios. So a mixture of a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. So,
and this is providing an opportunity for a lot of these people that might not have been able to afford a retail or commercial rental space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the space here is extremely affordable. It's basically like $1 a square foot. So for a 300 square foot space, a small office, you're going to be paying about $300 a month in rent. You know, there's other areas in Detroit that offer space, but we're probably one of the most affordable, the most polished, and the cleanest. So
very, very cool. Well, thanks again, Owen. Yeah, for no further problem. Information, do you have a website?
For the building, our website is just 4731.com, or my email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at 4731group.com.
Excellent. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from the Grand River Creative Corridor in Detroit, Michigan, where we've been visiting with Derek Weaver, the owner of 4731 Gallery. The Detroit-style techno music underbed was performed by Michael Carlin. To learn more about Carlin's music, log on to soundcloud.com/Michael St. Patrick.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning.